Welcome to Primary Attribute, we're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian, I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam, I'm wearing a totally different shirt from the last episode, which means it's a different day altogether. I play as a pair of fox folk, Vaughns of nacho flavor and cool ranch flavor. I'll use the he, him pronouns. And today we're staring down at a big map with little figures. We got little figures.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And we're figuring things out and assigning people.
Okay. I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Sidroa, the goo creature, and together we're known as Weldroa. You can throw any pronouns you want to at us. Mine are they, them. And yeah, we're going to, you know, figure out where we're all going to die.
No.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot. We all use he, him pronouns, and we're, mapping it out.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on our podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do, and you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. And now it is Erin recap time.
It is Erin recap time. Last time, we did research on the cure at the Jinkies lab. Jesse learned that the grad students are not fucking each other. The other thing that happened is that we did a bunch of research, and here's what we basically found is ways to make the cure potion with its two-step process more injectable and easier to apply, and also how to do a more mass brewing of the potion. And we ultimately also found a way to make sun grenades, which should do a lot of damage to the corruption. Also, Weldroa got her mech, which is 7.5 feet tall and 3.5 feet wide. And then we leveled up, which was a secondary attribute episode that we definitely recorded a different time than this one.
Totally different day. New shirts and everything.
We've all changed our looks to indicate time has passed, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you all find yourself in command, looking over a giant map. So, today we will be doing a little bit of tactics just as far as allocating your resources. Mostly the friends and enemies and neutral, slightly skeptical parties you made along the way. Because you've met a lot of people, you've seen a lot of things, and those could be useful. So, let's see. Basically, the way this is going to work is I made a couple of zones for the big old battlefield that's going to happen out front. You'll also be able to assign people to essentially either side of the mountain or the rear entrance. Either side tends to not be attacked very heavily, but that's some of the areas that Jesse tends to run cleanup in because they're more heavily wooded or otherwise undeveloped, and so you have to sweep and make sure no corrupted decided to try to camp out there to get you by surprise for the next time. And the rear entrance is where the Shire with Bomb Shelters is, and also Warren and Belladonna Taylor, Wealthy's parents. So, you know, they'll probably be brought inside, but the point is... Well, I mean, your parents could be the kind of people who are like, I don't want to evacuate just because of a hurricane. I've lived for 30 years and I've never moved from this house. That sort of thing. But yeah, and then you can also allocate things to the various neighborhoods because there is the possible threat that the corruption will try to send stuff up through the bottom tunnels. That's not something they've done before, but depending on how much they know, they might be viewing this as their last big chance to launch an assault so they could play dirty and apply more force than they'd usually do. Or you can just be like, I like that person, they get this potion. We don't have to allocate everything. You don't have to use everybody. We're obviously going to start with the ones you guys mentioned last time, but just letting you know the general layout of things. And then, as far as the actual situation. So, the Arx is currently in the clouds. It got lowered down while you guys were out to confuse you when you returned, but more importantly, to conserve the power from the core a little while longer. That said, despite the fact that it is, in theory, a free rein for the corruption to attack time, they have been weirdly quiet. You have seen a lot of birds and other scouts, but very few actual attacks, even during storms when you hit them. This has made everyone deeply uncomfortable in the General Guardian's tactical command, but you are going to now be lowering down, and everyone highly suspects that, especially given your little encounter in the dreamscape slash in the real world, through the magic split perspectives at the crater where the Arx is going to land, you suspect that the corruption is going to form up there to try to attack you as you lower down. You have a shield. The plan is to test run it for, you know, a few days before you actually lower down. So you'll turn it on, you'll test it, and then as you lower down, you'll keep it on a good chunk of the time. But the thing about the shield is that it is a nigh impenetrable barrier, which includes things like the ground. So you are going to need to turn it off during your final approach as you settle down into the crater. This will give you a window of a narrative amount of time where the shield is down, and you will need to defend against the upcoming attack. And then once you get down, the shield will go back on. We will hope that no wild animals are exactly where the shield is going to be underground, because they will have a bad day when the shield is where their kidneys used to be. And then it will turn back on and you will be relatively safe. It is unknown because none of you can really know if it's the kind of thing where the corruption would be like, welp, and leave, or if they'd all stand there staring at you waiting for the day the shield goes down. But either way, once you mopped up whatever was currently inside, you would presumably be good to go. So yeah, I am going to use the dangerous forbidden technique of trying to share my screen. Figure it's better than actually pulling up Roll20. So this is if only to give you a good idea of what I mean when I'm talking about the battlefield. Basically, there's upper and lower plazas. There's a big central plaza for each level, and then a left and right plaza for each level. The entire lower plaza will essentially be considered the front line. If you have a certain passion about which flanks you want anything to cover, you can delegate that. Upper plaza is going to be the back line, and the center is going to be the last stand area before the main door. A bunch of your backups are going to be in command, either swapping in and out through the doors that the Guardians use to swap out people during storms, because turns out you can't just have people out there for, you know, 18 hours at a time without them getting exhausted and then dying.
They've got snacks.
Yeah. And then command will be they've reached the main door. Here's our, you know, other last stand. All the neighborhoods will be sealed off, but that's where your civilian militias that you trained will be on watch, just in case something does break through. And yeah, so we have a whole bunch of resources, but I think something very important to do first is, hey, Grix.
Yeah.
You know that giant spell you were planning on casting in front of the main door?
Yeah.
Please describe.
Let me pull that out. Sorry.
I'm trying to understand this map. Is this like a top-down view?
Yeah, this is an awkward top-down view.
Okay.
Assume Arx Multimus is a perfect circle.
And then if you scroll down, that's just the back.
Yeah, like the back door.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a square for a rear gate.
Okay.
Back there. Anything you actively put on the flanks, I will just type out there. For people covering the sides of the mountains.
Okay, so guards and wards, spell, useful in defense of towers and structures. It radiates out 20 feet per level, not 10 feet, my mistake.
Oh god.
so 240 feet diameter. The area is warded. It has any creature in there, not friends, because they'll all be told, facing a choice in direction, such as a corridor, intersection, or side passage, becomes subject to a minor confusion type effect, making it 50% likely that they will go the wrong way. All corridors within the area fill with an eerie fog. Even dark vision doesn't go through it. They can only see 5 feet in front of them.
You're just seeing fog.
All doors are locked with the magic lock spell. One door per caster level, 12 doors, is covered by an illusion to appear as if it was a plain wall. Webs fill all the stairwells from top to bottom. These webs will also regrow in 10 minutes if they are burned or torn away. Then I will also select one additional effect.
Can you make them all itchy?
I can't, kind of. I could drop some big stinking clouds. But no, I think I'll do a gust of wind right in front of the door, the main door. So if anything gets through, it will be immediately blasted in the face.
Okay, so like if they burst through into the interior?
Yeah.
Okay.
How bad is gust of wind?
I think it's like a save to avoid getting knocked over. And
yeah.
Deflects, yeah. You know, missiles.
But only medium-sized creatures. Anything big is...
Yeah. So a lot of what the corruption attacks with is medium-sized.
Fair. Oh, it's the stinking cloud. I should look this up.
I'll give you this for free. From what you can tell, the corruption only breathes when it wants to.
Okay. All right. Gust of wind it is.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So you have some big security on the main door. How much of this space are you going to put out on the plaza and how much are you going to put back in command?
So it really, all of these things do want an interior space. Okay. I don't think that any of them will really be effective on the plaza.
Okay, so do you want to like cast it so just the front part is like just has the main door in?
So yeah, it's... yeah. So the main door will be covered by the lock spell and will also be where it'll also appear illusioned.
Yeah.
Like it'll appear as just wall, but obviously they know where it is. So it'll still mess with them though. Where's the handle?
Yeah.
But yeah, basically just inside with the circle touching the edge of the door.
Okay, cool.
And I pass on word to everyone.
Yes, everyone is told so. They don't show up and wonder why they're in Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with that...
Why is the draw distance so short here?
Listen, Bethesda was making a really big game for the time, and the fog adds atmosphere. Also, the frame rate's way better. Okay, so, all right. So, you guys had a couple people that you brought up on your own. I guess the first thing that we should mention, because I think it got mentioned when we were not recording and doing some other stuff, who is going to be your beacon?
Oh, yeah.
That you were using Find Humanoid to...
We
had discussed...
We had discussed having it be a regular Frymeath.
Mm-hmm.
Because
thematically symbolically appropriate.
It's thematically symbolically appropriate, and also he is familiar with the tunnels, like the escape tunnels, and the like. We did discover that he is familiar with the stashes that Vaughn's found, and so we thought he'd be good. I would also like to propose that Suyal, who is formerly Shad, maybe could go with to protect, like help. So that Frymeath has some backup or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay. So Frymeath is your homing beacon and has Suyal's backup. So he'll head down probably decently in advance. He might even go overland from the Jinkies and, you know, with lots of invisibility and sneakiness. I guess he could also jump off at the last second, but like, it's probably easier if he heads out ahead of time. So that is what he will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or like, I don't know, maybe Jenkins could teleport him.
Yeah. He says he'll go down early and he'll talk with the Jenkins and figure out the best plan and he'll be there when you need him.
Great.
All right. Okay. So other people that you mentioned. Clive, Vonza's alchemical ingredient stealer.
Yeah.
Was brought up. What do you want to do with Clive?
I see also... Clive in a support role.
Yeah, like... maybe like medical or...
Yeah, probably medical. Yeah, I see Clive in a support role. He's probably going to be great for helping to distribute that cachet of various concoctions.
He is one of the only people that can read Vonza's handwriting.
I bet he has poison handling, too.
Yeah, probably.
Just in case.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you put him on medical supply distribution?
Yeah.
One that is more likely to be helpful to you on the front lines? Defended Delves. Where would you like to put them? This is Green, Alara, Mir, Goatfriend, and the lesser seen but still extant Lakshmi, who is their rogue. He doesn't show up on camera very often.
I think they would be good for the rear, because they're like a, you know, they're like a solid party group and work well together. And I think that like having a group that already knows how to work together would be good to have in a spot that is like less connected to like everything else that's going on.
Okay, so are you thinking just inside command?
No, like I'm talking about the rear gate.
Okay, that rear. All right, that makes sense.
Did we determine how many wizards we had?
You are generally treating them as a giant pile of wizard.
Because I'm thinking that they need to be split up around different doors with a couple of decoy doors and making sure that the rear and the front door are suitably guarded by the magician, by wizards.
Can we get a couple of illusionists to just like paint some doors, some tunnels on the side of the mountain?
That actually sounds like a good idea. Have somebody in a wizard's robe standing there, and you know, have a warrior in wizard's robe standing there so that they get sacrificed. I mean, you know, that's a red shirt thing to do, but.
We can call Acme real quick and see if they can get some of those exploding crates up here.
I don't think you're supposed to call them red shirts while they can hear you.
Well, I'm not talking about them right in front mooks. Of them, so.
Yeah,
mooks.
Okay, so maybe like 1/8 for each kind of side of the mountain, scattered around with their decoy warriors and warrior
mm-hmm.
words. Like your illusionists, your people in hiding, and then the decoy doors and things like that. And then 3/8 to the front rear line and 3/8 to the back, to the actual back of the mountain, or
yeah, and disguise the wizards as warriors or you know rogues or whatever.
They really can't do that. They're not allowed to wear armor.
For God's sake,
fake armor,
theater illusions armor. Illusion armor.
Okay,
I'm sure that Gex has an entire. Wardrobe supply.
There you go.
For all of his imaginary actings that he wants
to one
day.
We don't want it to look like there's a bunch of wizards sitting there waiting to be attacked, so.
Weird, that wizard looks like Laura Dern.
What?
The actings. Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Alright, so you got your wizards scattered around the mountain, and then half and half of the remainder, one at the rear gate, and some, and one at the front?
Yeah.
Okay. You have your second base, folks. This is Mitt, Jaspar, X the Diggerbot, Ursula, and I'm going to say essentially two large squads of quote-unquote special forces. Think your smaller, highly trained teams. With a mix of people from the Arcs and people from the Narrows that they have been recruiting over time.
Can you repeat what this asset is?
So this is the people from second base. You have Mitt, Jaspar, the bots X and Ursula. Well, Mitt is also a bot. And then they are bringing two squads of fighters, that mix of fighters and rogues and rangers and all that stuff that essentially can be treated as squads of like special forces in terms of they're smaller squads, but they're highly trained.
Maybe like upper plaza left and right.
Okay.
Does that sound, I mean, I guess I'm not like totally sure what, like what we would, I guess not knowing like what all of our other assets are, yeah. I don't know necessarily like what
so
would be
you're basically adding all of these assets. You can assume that the Guardians are going to form up as they normally would.
Okay.
And all of your volunteer militias are going to be out there. This is for basically putting the special characters in among the various military forces. So they won't be the only thing out here. They'll be backing up whatever's there.
Okay. Can you remind me what the deal is with Upper Plaza left and right? Also,
this is basically
I'm so sorry.
For the listener, we have a map. There's Upper Plaza and Lower Plaza. Lower Plaza is the front line. Upper Plaza is the rear line that has the actual door on it. And then they also have a left and right designation. So this is essentially who you'd want covering the flanks on for the front line or like the back line.
Okay.
So it sounded like you wanted to put them on the upper plaza flanks.
Yeah, that sounds good. Does that I mean, does anyone else have other opinions? I feel like I've given a lot of opinions. Okay, no.
Great. Yeah, Vons is just making the little meeples dance on the map.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
As you do.
Yeah.
Okay. You were going to bring up some of the Jinkies. I thought about it. I think you'd probably get Professor Jenkins, Rune, and Crag, and then C would stay behind to watch over the lab.
Sure.
Because they're also very good at making traps, so they can just trap everything while everyone's gone.
Sure.
So where do you want a couple of, well, three powerful wizards?
Let's put one powerful wizard with the defended delves at the back door.
Okay, I'll put Crag back there.
And then,
I'd say one.
The text box scrolls with you if you haven't clicked off of it when you're scrolling the map. So
sure.
Crag was just floating forward.
It's like, that's weird.
I'm thinking put one on the lower level and one inside command.
Like lower plaza center,
yeah,
you mean?
Lower plaza.
Yeah.
Lower plaza center?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want Do you want Jenkins or Rune on the front line?
Let's put Rune on the front line and Jenkins in command.
Okay.
Which one is the quote unquote older one?
Jenkins is the older one.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of physical body.
Jenkins can be there at the door and be the last stand.
Yeah, so you've tucked Jenkins inside command.
Jenkins can do "You shall not pass."
That's right. We're going to figure it out for months just for this moment. yeah, and they all definitely have their clones cooking in case this goes sideways.
mm-hmm.
All right. And then Nara was brought up, and I consider Arcturus to be a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
Uyanga, who is Nara's cousin, who you met briefly, is going to be possibly from her wizard tower, possibly from right next to it, defending the teleportation portal into the valley.
That's fair. And fair and valid, yes.
Yeah. So where do you want Nara and Arcturus?
I think because they're a package deal, we should put them... I know that this is probably player... like, supposed to be secret from players, but we are in the end game. What are Nara's actual skills? Because so far we have really only see her be a very competent business owner that we have harassed in a multitude of ways about
her.
We'll
put it this way. If we ask Nara how she wanted to help.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Would Nara say is a good place for herself?
She's fine to fight. You'd probably want her mixed in with a larger group, but that's kind of taken care of for you. Nara seems to be a close-in fighter who likes to stab things in the kidneys when pushed to fight. And Arcturus is Arcturus. He's a fully trained bodyguard who seems deadlier than he lets on.
Which is really saying something, because he seems like he could do quite a lot of damage.
I need to look his stats up, but I really liked what I wrote out for him. but all right, so...
Well, to some extent, Nara's specialty is logistics and planning, right? And organization. So maybe inside command, but with the freedom to go where trouble is.
And you can help, put her, like on the...
organize. Yeah, maybe?
Like reserves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her in that sort of area, because she does seem quite versatile. Yeah.
But how will you make sure she hangs off a cliff if she's inside?
I mean, I don't want her to hang off a cliff.
You think we're going to avoid cliffhangers?
No.
No, we're going to knock this out in one session.
Yeah.
All right. And then...
tight hour 10.
So you have this flying ship.
Oh, yeah, we do. That's true.
Do you want to use that as an evac, or do you want to use that as air support?
It's a flying ship in theory.
I think we should use that as I think we should use it as air support. We should launch it like maybe when we're like 400 feet off the ground, and use that when the shield goes down. like use that as like a launching for like a secondary force when the shield goes down. Does that sound good to people?
Has it been, to Adam's point, has it been tried? Has it been tested?
I imagine it has at some point off camera.
Okay.
They've at least gone out to hover. It's been a while since we found it, so I imagine somebody's been working on it.
Somebody did some bad things to it.
But you did make a point of going to repair it.
I did.
You did, that's true.
Yes.
So they made you go back and scrape the gum off the, paint over the graffiti and everything.
So I guess related to that, does anyone particularly want running the ship?
No.
No.
Harper.
Yeah, Harper. Harper. Definitely Harper.
Oh man, Harper wasn't going to be here, but she's not going to turn down the chance to run a flying ship.
Of course she's fucking not. It's cool as shit.
She's the stoppiest person.
She will just.
How's this ship working as air support? What's it armed with?
You are probably going to arm it with siege weapons and people who like casting things that explode.
Or like just dropping sun grenades.
Yeah.
Or
archers.
Or like other explodey things that, that's probably easiest.
We could use it ahead of time to clear the ground that we're about to land on.
Yeah, basically, you'll launch it as soon as the shield goes down, and you can, I'll put down strafing runs too as a possibility. Okay.
Yeah, throw down a bunch of lightning potions and sun grenades and whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Aramith Mayfinwy, the one and only.
I want to be with Aramith.
So front lines, probably.
Yes.
Did anybody else hear that vibe as...
No.
Yeah, there's Kelly's giggle right there.
I mean, I understand why you would think that, but that's... I'm sentimental
about
Aracene, and I would like to be near her mother.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You can try to convince those of the High Mountains to help.
Oh, yeah. I want to definitely convince those of the High Mountains to help.
Hey, what's S.H.I.E.L.D. up to?
S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be there. S.H.I.E.L.D. is part of the Flyers.
Right.
Yeah. So.
It's going to be real awkward for everybody to hang out at the bar with.
If someone wants to make a charisma check real quick to get those of the High Mountains.
Griggs?
Yeah, that's probably me. Charisma. 9 on the die. 22.
That'll work.
Yay!
Where do you want to put a giant rock creature?
One of the frontline flanks.
All right.
Oh, those does that mean that we also might get like one of the other rock creatures, or
let's see, it's either assistant or servant, grad student, and minion.
Whatever is the one that's like as I thought there was one that was like as big as those of the High Mountains.
Oh, you're thinking of Gatekeeper. You could put Gatekeeper on the other flank.
Yeah, let's do Gatekeeper, because Gatekeeper I feel like is
also a giant. Yeah. Okay. Lucky
should be wrangling Nacho Vaughn's
frontline. It is.
Okay.
I just Wait. See Nacho Vaughn's as needing a lot of hand holding while things are going off around him, and
I think it's Cool Ranch that's going to be more frontline. Nacho's going to be behind frontline. Probably among the Defended Delves folks.
Well,
Defended Delves are on a different front line.
Oh, different front line.
Yeah, okay. You would be on the rear line you would be on the back line of kind of the main defense, it sounds like.
Yeah.
For Vaughn's.
Yeah, real close to where medical and everything is happening.
Yeah. Would you be outside or inside the doors?
This is what happens when you have Dog Cat. It's like, he's going to be like in the door. It's like not wants his head outside, but he doesn't always want, like, he's going to get too much sun and then he's going to come in and he's going to be like, I wonder what's outside now. And he's just going to make people keep opening the door for him. Everybody's going to get annoyed.
All right. That makes sense. That checks out.
I'll put
that is both his personality and operational style, isn't it? Yeah, that
I'll put Vaughn's cat status and we can figure it out as we do the wind up to the actual fight. Because now we have a heart out. And so the last person I'm going to have you place is the Great Squirrello.
Ooh, good question.
Lord.
Oh, Upper Plaza Center.
But he will also wander as he sees fit.
Yeah, he's yeah, I mean, yeah, he's gonna there's get no distracted.
There's no controlling Squirrel Owl.
Okay, I can type. All right, so we will summarize all this last time. We will summarize all this next time as we kind of go into it. But we've placed all our big resources. I will place the rest. And I guess if you can, do a think between now and our next recording session about where you... I'm assuming most of you will be outside on the front lines.
Uh-huh.
Or mm-hmm. in the flying group in the case of Steamboat. But if you have other places you think you want your characters to be, think about it and let me know at the start of next time.
Well, Grix will likely be very quickly going down to Helm.
Yeah, you can go between there and command pretty fast. So
we did make the teleportation yep. circle so that we could go down to
yeah.
the Helm so, very fast from command yeah. on purpose. So
Grix is a runner. Vons will decide whether he wants to be inside or outside at the literal last second. Most everyone else in the front line. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Yay! Cool.
Yay!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter, @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our dankest, blazest posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.